Hey guys, it's me, Alison Spittle. You're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show. This week's guest is Kira King. Kira King. I hope that I'm not making her name sound like a weird city that you've never visited before. I've re-recorded this intro and outro so many times because I'll level with you guys. I'm a bit hungover and pronouncing words is very hard today. I mean, it's very hard for me at the best of times because I got this weird mongrel accent and a big lisp. But thank you so much for listening to the podcast despite my speech impediments. That's really cool of you. But Kira King, anyway, she's a radio DJ. She's on 2FM every weekend. And also she is a writer and she's wrote this really, really, really funny book called Kira's Diary, Shift and Shiftability. And I mean, there were so many times where I laughed, even just at the actual dedication, where this is her dedication. For those of you who have never got the shift at a youth club disco, but instead spent your time dancing to Fong Song by Cisco. And now, I was too young to be going to discos when Cisco was out, but I was aware of his work. I did see the music video and I quite liked the song. But when I was going to underage discos, I was mad about this band called Tree of a Kind. They were like a pop garage band, three people in it. And they had this song called Baby Cakes. You just don't know, no. How I like it down low. I could sing it all. I love it. And I used to bring the CD with me to discos because I would ask DJs to play it and they would tell me they don't have it. And then I thought, you know what? I'll just bring the single with me to the next disco I go to. So God love the guy, he played the song and it cleared the floor. There was nobody on that floor in Westmead dancing to garage. I was a bit of a pioneer. I was mad into old school garage when I was a young one. So much so, actually, I was in a crew called the X Crew. But you know what, lads? I'm talking a bit too much for the intro. So why don't we just get straight into it? Listen to me talking to Kira King. She's an old friend and I'm delighted to see her doing so well. Big shout out to Copperberg as well for sponsoring the show. They're really sound. Go have a listen. This is the Right. Now it's podcast time.
Okay, even though we've talked about absolutely everything in the past half an hour since I've met you, I don't even know what we're going to talk about.
I know, because I ran out of batteries. And this is for the listener at home. We are speaking to you from my home.
Yeah, I am in Alison's sitting room.
Yeah, sitting room.
Slash palace.
That's what I would describe it as, yeah. It's what would you describe like the kitchen there? Because it has no door. So what is that?
It is a space.
It is definitely
a minute space.
Yeah, I'm living in the city, you guys. Mm. So
no, it's not just subject to the city. We have the tiniest kitchen ever at home, where I'm from in Connemara. And
really?
Yeah, my mum, the only one passive aggressive thing that my mother does to my father, and I've been listening to this for over 30 years, is she always goes, yeah, now, if we could have a bigger kitchen now, I'd be delighted. I mean, you can't swing a cat in that kitchen, whatever. And I've been hearing that same thing for over 30 years. I don't think she's happy with the size of the kitchen.
Really? And yeah. Even
and passive aggressively gets digs at my dad.
But I love that your mum has a great sense of hope.
Yeah. Still. It's like Valentine's Day, Christmas Day. Oh, she does this thing as well where I'll ring her on her birthday. And because, you know, obviously I live in Dublin and I'll be like, hey, mum, you have a nice birthday, just getting nice gifts. And she's like, well, your father arrived in this morning with a dozen red roses. And obviously I know my father and he didn't and he has never done that in the course of their marriage. But she does the same joke every single time on her birthday as well. So there you go.
Nice. Yeah. I feel like I've got to know your mum a lot there. Kira King sitting with me here. You're a DJ on 2FM. And
presenter. Because when I think of DJ...
Yeah.
I think of someone that's really good with music. you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I like music, but I wouldn't be like spinning the hits or anything like that. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
And then if you say broadcaster, they're like, oh, she's up her own hole. So I'm going with presenter, I guess.
Okay, yeah. That's cool.
Because it's sort of show, I guess, myself and Chris have kind of done over the past couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. Because you had an evening show and now you're at the weekends now.
Yes, we are on from, what are we on? Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 1 o'clock.
So do you do like a lot of outdoor broadcasting now? Is that what
we
you're
did?
Do?
We did for the first couple of months, but I think that's because they thought it was Ricochet. And then they got myself and Chris. So yeah, so we did one in IKEA. We did one outside in IKEA, actually. And that was fun. Me and Chris got into a bed together for the first time.
How was that? Was
he finally did it. He finally did it. Yep.
Was it a big bed?
It was weird. it was weird, actually. I'm going to be deadly honest, because obviously I sit opposite him, you know, for many, many years now. And then actually getting into a bed beside him was like this. But like, it's like when myself and Chris hug. Or, you know, or touch or something like that. Or someone, like, we're like really awkward because we're kind of like brother and sister-esque.
Yeah, how long, you know? How long are you together as a double act?
We're coming close to nearly 9 years.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Coming close to nearly 9 years. How scary is that?
That is a long-ass relationship.
It really is.
And so over the nine-year period, like, do you know each other well by now, or how is it?
It's so funny. I can call his shit now, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Like, all right, okay, he's in this sort of mood. Grand. Okay, I know how he's going to react to this situation. I know, you know what I mean? But he's evolved and I've evolved, obviously, over the course of 9 years as well. And he'd know everything about me because I spent so much time with him.
Yeah.
And I remember the first thing he said to me, his first impression of me was that I talk way too much. And my first impression of him was that he was a complete and utter weirdo. And that kind of really hasn't changed in the 9 years. But I just talk at him and he pretends to listen. Yeah, but he does take some stuff in.
Brilliant. But so...
He likes you.
Really?
Yeah, I do know that. He likes
Yay.
You. We go way back though, fairness.
No, we do. We do. We've gone back to Athlone.
Yeah.
That's 9 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You were like, what, 16 or something?
I was 19.
Were you
19? I looked 16.
You did. So, such beautiful looking face, Alison.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a baby face.
You were a ray of sunshine though.
Oh, thank
I also
you.
Told you were really weird when I first met you as well.
Oh, tell me more.
I was like, this girl's entertaining.
She's a character.
No, but you'd always tell me what you get up to on a night out. And I was like, what the hell is this or that? No, it was very funny. Yeah.
No. Because so me and Kira used to work in a radio station called iRadio.
Yeah.
And it was so cool because... It was a place in the middle of an industrial estate in Athlone, and you had people like Bernard O'Shea, Keith Walsh, Fergal Darcy, Chris and Kira. Who else now would have been sound?
Oh,
everybody else.
Obviously,
of course.
Everybody else. Do you know what? Some of the
Zara King.
She's fabulous.
And I met her at your book launch there, and she's so lovely.
She's the biggest sweetheart. She really is. There is no badness in Zara. She's an absolutely amazing girl and a brilliant broadcaster as well.
Yeah. Peter Ganley, Hazel.
PDG, Hazel. Do you know what? I actually write in the acknowledgements of the book, Kira's Diary, that I made some of my greatest friends in my life in iRadio.
Oh, that's so sweet. Because it was very like us against the world in that station.
It
as
felt
well.
Like that. That's because we were out in the middle of an industrial estate, though. So
it was, and we were trying to give the vibe to the listeners of Leinster, like, you know, it's party central. Here's Kerry.
It's a great radio station. It's an absolutely brilliant radio station. So it is.
I love Youth Radio, though. I love the whole going out to the listener parties and
I've forgotten about going to listener parties.
Do you remember them and the orange hoodies?
Yeah. Oh, the orange hoodies. People would sell their mother for an orange hoodie. Everywhere I went at the time, I was asked, could you get me one of those iRadio orange hoodies? And it's like, no, I can't. I actually think do you know what? I had an orange iRadio hoodie.
Yeah.
And I lost it somewhere between all the moving of houses that I've done in the past 5 or 6 years. And I was devastated.
Yeah.
Because it really marked a particular time in my life. You know, that sort of way.
No, and it's so comfy. Mm-hmm. It's so comfy. I lost mine at Oxygen.
Oh, did you?
And I was very sad.
If there was anyone, what year was that?
2000 and the Killers played. I think 2007.
If you go on eBay, I guarantee you that hoodie is up on eBay somewhere.
I figured it was, you felt like a little celebrity in Athlone. You know?
Yeah.
And then you leave Athlone and then, or you know, you go to Dublin, you're like, iRadio, man. But apparently iRadio had a big following in some parts of Dublin as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was like listening to it. But you know, you're with 2FM, the national broadcaster.
Yeah, I know. Who would have ever thought?
No.
We're nearly like 4 years.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
When they're like 4 years on RT2 FM. Yeah.
So like what was the call up like with RT2? Like how did they approach you? Is it like the army or happened?
It was all very cloak dagger.
Like it's like Hogwarts. It was like,
you get a letter. I mean, Chris was like, hurrah, finally. But no, it was just, we were in talks for months and, you know, we had to wait. We couldn't say anything. You know, it was all very difficult. But like it was, you know, you have to progress. Things have to evolve and develop. And, you know, we were ready to go in a lot of ways. You know, we'd done everything that we could in iRadio. So then it was trying to start, like anyone in any job, starting something new, you know.
Media is kind of a weird job though, because everything does have to be under cloak and dagger for you. Like, you'll hear someone's news and they'll go, it'll be in a few months negotiating that, and it's just, I feel weird keeping secrets and stuff myself.
Yeah, because you want to be able to speak freely about what you do.
Yeah, especially if you're stressed, or like, for instance, I'm working on a project now and it looks like I'm kind of doing nothing up until when the TV show comes out, but I am so busy and I can't like visit my friends or have a cup of tea, or you know, and it's just, or when someone goes, oh, you doing many gigs this week, and I go, I'm doing two, but I'm fierce busy, and they don't know what you're up to, and you can't like,
and you
out.
Sound dodgy, or you sound like you're trying to be one of those people that's like, yeah, I've got loads of things going on, and you've got nothing going on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I understand that. When's the TV show out?
Well, it'll be out by the time this is out. Like I'd say, it'll be about 2 weeks out, but we are so it's going to be out in a week. And I'm gonna be.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, very nervous, especially about people's reactions and stuff, because it's course. Something that you've worked on for so long.
And it's also, if I can say, probably something really personal.
Yeah, it's so personal, and then it's, you're collaborating with people, so other people have this input, but it's your face at the front of it.
Yeah.
And there are some people that are like, I was gonna say not media savvy, but I mean normal people, right? Who are just living in Wexford or whatever. And if there's a line that they don't like, or if there's something they don't like, they'll be like, she's bad. And it's like, you know, or if there's something they do like, they go, they like that, but, and they go, she's good. But it's like a thing that's done with loads of other people, and there's nothing that I can.
It's also harder now as well, I think, because of, and I'm going to use the word social media.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely harder. And also because it's such a personal project as well. You do want people to like it. And I know that myself from the book, you know. But one of my biggest regrets, I think, is actually calling the segment Kira's Diary when we started it on the radio, because I think that there is a majority of the people out there that actually think that it is my teenage diary.
Yeah.
That don't, maybe possibly didn't listen to the nighttime diary segment that we created.
Yeah.
And then think that it's actually my real life teenage diaries. And I'm like, no, that's not it. And it's very hard then when you've got my name, Kira King, it's called Kira's Diary.
Yeah.
And then when I was doing the whole like press for it and stuff like that, it was, so are these, the first question all the time was like, so are these your real diaries? And like, I was like, no, they're not my real diaries. And then by the time I explained that, I didn't get a chance to actually explain what Kira's Diary is about.
And it's almost like they get disappointed as well. Like, oh, what?
Oh, it's not real. And I'm like, who do you think I am? Anne Frank, like, you know? Based on a radio segment, you know?
And it's also not giving you credit for writing. And it's still a skill.
Yeah.
Do you know, just because it's not reciting every small detail of what your life is, was probably more boring than it
completely.
Is. Completely. Yeah.
Completely. No one would buy the real life Kira's Diary. Maybe the adult versions, but definitely not the teenage versions. As a late bloomer.
But nice. This is like going into Red Shoe Diary territory now.
Shit got dark.
So tell me, like, what, when you first did Kira's Diary in iRadio, like your show with Chris was like this late night kind of talk show, and you had the afternoon show as well. But even when it moved to afternoon, it was the same kind of deal. It was all these mad people on the phone, and you used to have like a sex advice lady from America. Who was she?
Yeah,
again?
She was this. Oh no, she was a sexy nutritionist.
Yeah, sexy nutritionist.
Yeah, so yes. Yeah, of course we had a sexy nutritionist. No one else had a sexy nutritionist.
Actually, yeah. Do you know what? Let's talk about those little bits in those shows back in the day, because that's what I loved about your show, was like these mad people
that
came
on. It's so funny, Alison, that you said that, because I was actually thinking about me and Chris.
Like, where is the sexy nutritionist now?
Her name was Jenny, and I think I follow her on Twitter. But like, we had this other guy come in, and he would do astrology with myself and Chris. Then we had weird caller Mark, this really random guy that used to come on and give out about the show the whole time. We had a guy on in America that used to run, he had a plane, and the whole point of the plane was for people could go up into the air and have sex with each other.
And what would he just chat about, like, what's happened that week?
Yeah. I can't even... Oh, we had this guy on from a funeral parlor in New Orleans where he used to arrange the bodies in particular ways.
Right, okay.
Like, if someone wanted their body arranged with a bottle of wine in their hand and a cigarette in the other hand, they would literally do it. So we had him on. And like, I can't... over 9 years of radio, we've had the strangest, oddest, most brilliant, most interesting, random bunch of people on the show. But I've kept diaries now, work diaries.
Have you?
I've kept work diaries of every single thing myself and Chris have ever done on our show, dating all the way back to 2009, 2008.
And isn't it mad that, like, the most successful thing is actually you reading your diaries as a teenager? You used to put your retainer in as well.
I did.
To give it the offense.
We really thought about this. An awful lot of work went into that, you know.
Yeah.
Because I did. I had retainers and I used to wear them at my retainers at first. And then obviously... you know, we got more, we evolved again. Kira's diary evolved.
You damaged your teeth. Like.
Yeah, exactly. Also, it was really hard to read out like 8 minutes worth of writing with a freaking retainer in, like, or whatever. But yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah. So let's talk about the process then from radio to book. These are probably questions you get asked all the time anyway.
No.
But
no, it's a funny one because writing for radio... writing a book, like, I didn't even know I was writing for radio, if you know what I'm trying to say. And then I didn't even realize that actually along the way I'd written a book, which was great because I think a lot of people have no idea where to start, whereas I had too much, so I had to kind of, you know, minimize the amount of material that I had and pick particular diary entries where events had happened but that also went with the story arc,
right?
You
okay.
know,
yeah.
So I had something like 140,000 words and we had to cut that down to 70,000 words.
So, so you had like a surplus of material and it was all about editing.
Yeah, which was really hard.
And what bits?
And also, I wrote Kira's diary by hand when I wrote it for the radio.
What?
I wrote it out in foolscap pages. I used to take Wednesday afternoon for 3 or 4 hours and I used to write it out because I'm all about authenticity, am't I?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. So then I had to type it all up. And so I remember sending Connor... Nagel from Gill, literally a picture of a pile of folders and folders and folders of handwritten Kira's diary.
Yeah.
That then I had to type up and put into a book. It was really hard. I'm absolutely wrecked.
How do you store all that paper? Where did you keep it?
I keep it in a special box underneath my bed.
Oh.
Yeah. I won't throw it out.
What if there's a fire, Kira? You're sleeping well, I've on got a big the
book.
Look, lighter.
I've got a book out. You know what I mean? But no, you're right. And also, that box has survived. Moving from, I've moved like 3 or 4 times in the past couple of years, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm very much like, where's the Kira's diary box? You know, because I will end up eventually replacing the Book of Kells. It's my personal opinion.
A big shout out to Copperberg. They're sponsoring the show, so I'm doing an advert for them. And I actually think it's a good competition. You have to be over 18 to enter this competition, but it's very simple, okay? All you have to do is to go online, right, and you click on Copperberg social media pages, either on Facebook or Instagram, you like it, and then you tag Copperberg in a photo. And if you do that, you're in with a chance of winning Spotify Premium for a year. And Spotify Premium for a year is a very good prize. It's, remember I was talking to you about stopping and restarting, recording the intro and outro and also the adverts as well. Like, I think I did that advert grand, but you should have heard the other adverts. The other adverts, I'm just going on a big rant about Blue Apron. And I thought, you know what? Copperberg don't want to get in a beef with me and Blue Apron. I'll keep my opinions to myself. So I will. But I just want to tell you why it took me so long. Because I'm actually doing okay now. It's going quite fast. Yeah, so go buy Copperberg. Please. That's my endorsement of Copperberg. It's Swedish. Now, I've got a lisp, so this is very hard. Swedish cider. No. Well, a lisp doesn't make me go like that. That's not a lisp. That's just... That's just plain Allison. Also, my name is terrible. My actual name, Alison Spittle. It's such a hard name for me to pronounce. I mean, I'm lucky I don't refer to myself in the third person all the time. You know, like if I was Craig, if Craig David had my name, he would have a bad time. And he had a lisp, if he had a lisp as well. He would have a bad time. Actually, a journalist asked me the other day, so how'd you come up with that stage name? I was thinking, mate, if I was going to pick a stage name, Alison Spittle is not going to be the first thing that comes up. I mean, who would want that name? Who would, it's Huguenot, if you're wondering. My family apparently escaped religious persecution in Belgium hundreds of years ago and ended up in Britain. And also, my name is super rare. And my dad just had daughters. So it's just my responsibility now to keep that name going because it'll be gone. So I'm never going to get married. I've decided. I should have kids, though, if I want to keep that name going. Oh, I'm in a quandary now. Anyway, that's the advert for Copperberg. Thank you. So what's the reaction? Because it's been out now about
September 8th.
What was it like having it out there?
Really, really, really nerve-wracking.
Yeah, and I'm asking this because I'm so worried about the TV show.
and I, like you said, we were chatting earlier on, people were saying to me, you must be so proud, congratulations, well done, Kira, whatever. They're not words that I'm used to hearing. I'm not going to lie to you. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like such an imposter because I don't feel proud and I don't feel happy. Yeah. I feel really nervous. I feel really anxious. I feel really panicky because you're putting a massive part of yourself out there. It was fine in the studio with me and Chris. We'd read the diaries. We'd have a laugh. We'd move on to the next item. It might go up as a podcast, you know. This is all in an actual finished hardback book where people can pick it up and actually read it and judge it now.
Yeah.
And you know.
And does it feel, I just for the listeners at home, I just put down a cup of tea there.
I'm gonna have some more tea actually.
Do, and I might put on the kettle in a second. So listeners at home, you'll be okay. There'll be some noise in the background, but it's a kettle and you'll be fine. All right? I'm just warning you now. So that's strong tea. When to your point where you were talking about people kind of projecting what you should be feeling when you're bringing out something, I feel that way too.
Yeah.
And then I feel bad for feeling a different way to what people say you should feel.
Oh my God, Alison, that has literally been my September and October.
Really?
Yeah, it really has. And also I think I've been beating myself up and like, I should be happy, but I'm not 100% happy. And I should have, you know, I've worked really hard. It's been a great year.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I can't let myself feel that or see it.
And then you're afraid that you're not capable of feeling that way. And you're like, what is going to be the bar for you, Kira?
Yeah.
For you to feel anyway happy about what you've done.
This is it. Like, it's an incredible accomplishment. A book is an amazing accomplishment. Yeah. A TV series that you've written is an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah.
What the absolute hell is going on? Because, and I know, like everyone said to me as well, after the book came out, there's a massive come down and to expect it. I didn't expect the come down to be as bad as it was because for a large period of 2016, 2017, it was all about the book. When I was out, I was thinking about writing the book. When I wasn't writing the book, I was like, oh crap, I should be writing the book. You know, coming into the summer period, September was always the end goal. I knew the book was going to be out in September. And then suddenly, when it came out in September and the launches had died down and the press had kind of died down, I found myself sitting in my room. And a guy called Mark Hayes, he's actually a comedian, and myself and Chris used to have him on the show as well.
All right.
He's a comedian from Cork, doing really well over in LA, and he's written 3 books. And he was messaging me about something, and he said, so Kira, he said, have you discovered that the book hasn't filled the void in your life yet? And I lay in my bed and I went, oh my God, that's so true. Because everything that I hadn't thought about, let's say, in the months previous to that, all suddenly came back into my head. Like the guy, or, okay, what am I going to do next? Or, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, all those
things which I'd managed to kind of put aside, been like, okay, I need to focus on this. Suddenly it was like, crap, I need to get driving lessons. I need to buy a car. Okay, that guy, how am I going to fix that relationship with him? God, I haven't seen my friend who had a baby. Like all these things came back and it was really tough. I don't know, have you ever experienced that maybe after doing a comedy?
Oh, definitely.
You know, comedy show or something. And it's really weird. It's just, I think it's the pressure that we put on ourselves. Like I'm really hard on myself. Like I really am hard on myself. But also you're putting yourself out there. And to be deadly honest with you, I think my confidence has taken a bit of a knock. Really? Even though people have been so good about the book and people have been great, but it's like I'd be a shy, private enough person, and I'm after putting out a really personal book, because there's, if I was going to be deadly honest about all the characters in Kira's diary, like teenage Kira, there's Hockey Brendan, there's Lucy Rebecca, the grandmother figure in the book, they're all elements of myself.
Yeah.
And I only realised that in February. And I went, oh shit, psychologist's going to have a field day with this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when it's a really personal thing, it's really hard.
And I find with my series, there's definitely elements of me and lots of new characters as well. And you write it and you're just so in the process of writing that you don't actually think about where this stuff is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And then you finish it and you think about it for a second. You're like, oh no. And then it's just a fear of like what is going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what about you're like 2 months after it now. Mm-hmm. Like, at what stage are you with your feelings about the book or your feelings about the reaction to the book?
I'm very interested by the fact that a lot of men have bought my book, which I'm really delighted about, because I thought it was going to be predominantly female.
Yeah.
And so that is kind of delighting me. You know, I'm like, great, I wrote a book that both men and women can read. Because honestly, I thought that only maybe girls would read it, like, you know, or girls of our age or teenage girls or whatever. So that's been really interesting and really good. Also, I think that I presumed that a lot of people would help me and then they didn't.
Right.
So I dealt with that kind of disappointment as well. And you're taught all the time, never presume anything in life.
Yeah.
Just because you will do something for a person doesn't mean that they'll do that for you. So I was taking everything really, really personally. But I was chatting to this girl, a girl in the media who you wouldn't think would have a problem getting anyone to do anything for her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
you're going to tell me that name after we finish recording.
I'll tell you later, yeah.
Yeah.
Fabulous girl. And she said that she felt the same way when she bought her first book out. Mm. She was like, Kira, she said, I thought, also what she said as well, that men helped her more than women. And I went, wow, wow. Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of that. And people don't talk about that because you can't talk about that.
Well, I've definitely like had crimes that I've done to other women comedians and stuff and judged people. And not being as nice as I could.
Okay.
I saw them as a threat and I didn't see men as a threat.
Okay.
And
that's really honest of you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did a podcast with Joanne McNally. We totally talked about that.
So. Yeah, I love Jo.
Yeah. She's great. So, you know, but I have like bitched and stuff about that. And it's just horrible.
Do you think it's like an insecurity in yourself? Like,
definitely an insecurity thing. Because, mm-hmm. I don't know, when I was younger, like young comedian, I got told, you're really good for a female comedian, or you're the best female on that night. And there's me and one other person.
Mm-hmm.
So then it just affects of your mind. And I was not aware of my gender. Actually, I was thinking about this. I went to college to study radio because I really wanted to do radio when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a big dream. And my lecturer, the first day we went in, and he's this edgelord lecturer guy. He was just like, women don't like other women's voices. So, like, if any of you got any ambitions to be on air, why don't you think of doing maybe news reading or production? And I was 19.
Are you serious?
I know, very serious. So serious. And this is like he was a cool man. He was not
I know what you mean.
You know?
A type of old school.
He was not old school in any way at all. He was like counterculture. And everything. But so when I was 19, I went, okay, that's good. I'll be a broadcast assistant then. Or I'll just I'll work around people that I like. Like, I just love the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you get fed this stuff and it just turns into poison.
Well, I think that's like absolutely hilarious. I look at 2FM.
Yeah.
And the amount of females on 2FM.
Yeah, it's great.
It's equal to the men on 2FM. And not only that, myself and Chris, we had nearly all female contributors.
Yeah.
Bar one or two men.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No one complained. You know what I'm trying to say?
I can't understand how commercial stations, and I'm not even going to get you to like talk on this or whatever, but it just annoys me how commercial stations kind of maintain that they say, we just can't get the women to do it. And it's like, well, 2FM can do it. And the other thing is, I do think it stems from college and stuff. When I talked about that lecturer, and then loads of people from different colleges said, yeah, my lecturer said that to me too. It's this study apparently that happened in the 40s that has been disproved as well.
That well, that's because it was the 1940s.
I know. Oh. I know. But like, so I never bothered. I went to iRadio and I was just like, oh, I'm just going to go and do. I had a great time because I did loads of different stuff, you know. But I never really pushed myself to go, here, I think I could be a presenter or anything like that. So,
well, I completely fell into it.
Yeah. Well, like,
I never wanted to be a presenter, broadcaster. Yeah, I completely fell into it. I did a degree in arts. I did English and sociology and politics. And then I went on, I did a master's in journalism because I wanted to be a writer.
Well, now you've ended up being one. Yeah, I know.
That's weird. That is weird. And I actually got my work placement in RTE on a news show. And I knew straight away that I didn't want to be a serious news journalist.
Right.
So that was interesting. Glad I learned that early on. Like, you know, I wouldn't be able for it. I wouldn't be able to doorstep people. I wouldn't be able to shove mics in people. That's not my personality.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I ended up applying for some job in iRadio as a producer.
Yeah.
Like, I'd done a master's in journalism. They don't teach you how to be a producer, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then ended up, you know, working on a show. And then the presenter got sick. And then Chris came in. And for whatever reason, I think he was meant to come in that week because I think the two of us were meant to have a show called Chris and Kira because we had chemistry.
Yeah.
And you can't buy that. And I always say that, like, do you know what I mean? You can't buy that because you know when people hate each other.
Yeah, you can hear it.
You can hear it. You know, you can't fake that. And also, if you didn't like each other, it would be absolute utter hell to do a radio show.
Right.
Or a TV show, I'd imagine. Or, you know what I mean? Do anything or work beside someone that you absolutely not detest. Life's too short.
Yeah.
You know?
So
it kind of just developed from there. And then obviously just started one day when, like, wouldn't it be funny if I pretended to read out my teenage diaries? And that was like 5 years ago. Now it's in a book.
What was the first teenage diary? Do you remember?
We went young. Yeah, we went young. We went to like 13.
Okay.
I still have it in that box. I can't remember, but it was all about home and away and just being 13 and stuffing my bra with tissue and people. Loved it.
Yeah.
So we did it again next week. And then we did it again. And then I was like, right, let's make her older so that, you know, we can go darker. Yeah, we can go darker here. And that's how Kira's Diary came about. Also, I had nothing to do in Athlone. So I literally used to sit down on a Wednesday. It was my writing day.
What was your favourite thing about Athlone?
The fatted calf out in Glasson.
Oh, that is quite nice.
Me and Chris, we used to get paid every month and the two of us would make a trip out. It was like a little special treat. And we'd go out to the fatted calf. Oh my God, it's so good. It's since closed, but I think they've moved into Athlone town now. Good. Town centre now, yeah.
Oh, that's sad. I felt sad there. Athlone, I love Athlone. I'm from... Well, to me, it was very cosmopolitan. I used to get my bus in there when I was young and go to the cinema and watch like Coyote Ugly or whatever. Mm. And but I can understand when I worked in iRadio, I was just like, oh, these adults that have had lives before are here. They must feel so weird.
Yeah, it's a strange one. But I think that I was just in a weird period of my life at that stage or something like that. And then I went into Athlone Castle because I tried to do as many things to kind of educate myself. Also, can I also point out, I grew up literally, I might as well have been born in the tide because the sea is so close to my house in Connemara.
Yeah.
And so I'm used to the mountains and the sea. I was in Athlone. I was landlocked. There's only lakes. Yeah. And a lake is a poor man's ocean.
It is very true.
But so I remember trying to like keep my mind distracted. I was going through a breakup and stuff like that as well. And I went into Athlone Castle and they had some special exhibition on and you walked into one particular part and it was literally like just the sound of people dying and it was all about this battle along the banks of the Shannon and how thousands of people had died. And it was all like, wah, wah, you know, those like audio clips. And I was like, that's why this place is like this. Okay, great.
What a way to get over a breakup as well, just to listen to the sounds of people.
Oh, like me and Chris used to meet by like the banks of the Shannon and sit at a bench, not even talk to each other, just sit beside each other on a bench.
Really?
During the day, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You're the best double act ever.
I'm sure he's sick of me.
No. So I wonder what you'll do for your 10-year... Do you know what your anniversary is?
It's in June.
Yeah.
I have it. So I have it in my diaries. It's in June. No, that's
you got to go to the fatted calf in that long.
Yeah. Maybe. we'll do something. Do you know? But God knows where. You never know. Like, you know what I mean? You don't know.
Yeah. Like, do you have a plan or anything? Or
no, not at all. It's just literally each day as it comes with myself and Chris. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the time we feel like we're starting all over again. You know what I mean? Like this new shift off nighttime, which we need to come off.
Yeah.
Onto daytime. But to slot into that particular slot that we're in as well, that's going to take some sort of developing and evolving as well, you know? But we've done it. We've always done it. Like I said to Chris, I was like, we always start over and we always do it. So we can do, you know, we can do this, like whatever.
And you're on the 6 o'clock show as well.
Yes.
How long have you been on that for now?
Nearly 3 years, I think, in March or something.
Yeah.
I love it.
And you're the queen of...
events.
Events. So do you get like weird invites now? And what's
Only kind of in the past 7 or 8 months I've started getting invites to stuff. Yeah.
Right.
And now I can't go because I work at the weekend. Whereas when I was working nights, I would have been free to go to these events at the weekend or whatever. But I've met some brilliant characters. And I really like all of the presenters. I'm mad about Martin. Myrne is so smart. She's so smart, so she is. And I loved Lucy Kennedy.
Yeah.
And Deirdre O'Kane, she presented it for a while as well. And Pippa O'Connor.
Yeah.
She's lovely. And also lately, Aveen Garhi. She is so sweet.
And like, Samantha Mumba.
Oh my God. Oh, you were out there. I'll never forget. Actually, you owe me for this because I knew Samantha Mumba was presenting at 6 o'clock show for a while. And Alison was a huge fan.
Yes.
And I took a picture of you and Samantha Mumba, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I've never been so starstruck.
Michael Carruth was on the night that me and you were on. And
yeah.
I was explaining to you all about Michael Carruth.
Yes.
And he winning the Olympic medal, whatever. So then Alison walks in to the couch and was like, oh, Michael. And I heard you won an Olympic medal and blah, blah, blah. Basically. And I was like, what? She knew nothing about him. Like literally 10 minutes ago. And you'd swear that you were a professional boxer. Like,
I'm a sociopath.
He's lovely. Well, that's true.
He is lovely. With the 6 o'clock show, like, was there any? I remember I mentioned Ketterman once on air.
On the 6 o'clock
show. Yeah, there was a lady that was into horses, and Martin goes, or maybe it was Ray Foley, who goes. He says, "Well, you must meet some characters there with the horses." And I said, "Yeah, there's loads of Ketterman around," and then. No, what laughed?
I was like, oh no.
I think I'm never getting on this show ever again.
I said Arse Week.
Arse Week?
Yeah, instead of saying Arts Week.
Oh.
I said Arse Week. I always used to mess up in the kitchen. So they stopped making me help the chef in the kitchen. Like literally. I couldn't crack an egg. Also, a lot of pressure when it's live television, can I just say?
There is, isn't there? There is.
There's been a lot, but I love that show. I think it's a brilliant show. I think it's a fun show.
Yeah, yeah. I always watch when my friends are on.
Yeah, I think it's a really warm show. That's the way I describe the 6 o'clock show. I think it's a really warm show.
I like to do it.
I met Paul McGrath out there. Yeah, and I met Packy Bonner. I helped Packy Bonner choose his shirt to go on the 6 o'clock show. And I was like, never in my life did I ever think that this would happen. And then I never ask anyone for photos because I'm not, like, I don't care that I have a picture with him. Well, I did ask Paul O'Connell. But that's because he's Paul O'Connell and he was lovely. He was so, he's just so nice. Like,
yeah.
He's like Brian Boru. Like, anyway, I'm going to stop talking about him because I talk about him forever. But I asked Paul McGrath because I grew up watching Paul McGrath. I love Paul McGrath. Like, you know what I mean? Because we'd be mad into football in our house, whatever. And I turned around to him. I said, Paul, I said, if you don't mind, I said, is there any chance I could get a photo with you? And he goes, I was just about to ask you the same question.
No.
I was like, he didn't need to say that.
No.
That was fabulous. There's been so many people. I've met so many people over the course of 2.5-3 years there. And I have to say, like you said earlier on, I have had a perception of certain people in the media.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this one's going to be out here now, or that fella's going to be out here. And then I meet them and they're so lovely.
Really?
Yeah, they're so lovely. And then I get loads of text messages like from all my friends now. What was she like? What was he like? And I honestly, majority of the time, I don't think I've ever had to text back and go, yeah, she's a pain in the hole. Bar the time you were on. So, I mean.
Well, you know, I'm difficult, man.
Yeah. Alison's such a diva.
I am. I am a massive diva. I brought home some biscuits that I had from Drogheda last night. We got the Lotus. Not very nice.
You're spoiling me with these Lotus biscuits. You're spoiling me.
like for a rush.
I love the cups, though, the Alison Spittle Show cups.
My friend
that's really cool.
Yeah, my friend Sophie got them for me. She made them. Well, she didn't make them herself, I'm sure. They're a bit marked. I keep trying to clean them. I probably have the cleanest cup. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, mine's pretty filthy, but sure, look.
I know, I don't really have guests. I don't entertain that much. What do you think could be in the future for like Kira's Diary?
You know, when I finished up writing Kira's Diary, Kira was in college.
Right.
Yeah, so Kira was in college. So that was like 2002, 2003 time frame. So there is, I mean, I don't know, is it going to happen, like whatever. But a lot of people have said to me that they'd like to know kind of what happens with these characters, you know, going to college.
Yeah.
So that can be cool. Everyone keeps on saying to me, Kira, this would be a great TV series or like a mini Irish movie or something.
Yeah.
I mean, like one can dream.
A mini Irish movie. Who would you get to play Kira?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know the young talent these days. Because obviously they'd have to be teenagers.
Oh, shite. Yeah. What if we got like actresses we like, but then digitally impose teenage faces on them? Like
Angelina Jolie would play. No, yeah. I don't know.
Mini Driver.
That, like Circle of Friends, that's kind of Kira's Diary-esque in a really weird way, isn't it? Like, do you know?
Yeah, yeah. No.
Okay, I'll touch it for 2 seconds.
So
I'd like to write a serious book now.
Really?
Yeah.
About what?
It'd be a female character, because I can't write from the male brain. I'm not that talented.
Yeah. We'd just be wank, wank, wank.
Yeah. And I actually have come up with an idea in my head, and it's so funny. It's I was sitting at my desk and I was thinking about writing something, and I was like, what would I call it? And I looked at my friend had given me a photo frame. And on the bottom of the photo frame, it said Made in India. Right. And I was like, that's it. That is the new title of my book. And so I've kind of developed this character, I swear to God, from looking at the empty picture frame with Made in India in it.
No way.
Yeah. I could win a Pulitzer Prize for it.
So is Wednesday still your writing day, or what do you do now?
No, because we used to do Wednesday was... I used to write on a Wednesday because Kira's Diary used to be on a Wednesday night. So I used to keep it fresh or whatever, you know. So no, I've kind of, obviously since the book is done now, I'm kind of all over the place, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, what will I do? It's Monday. Oh, I'll just sit here and scroll on all the social media apps on my phone and basically not do anything with my life. Or I'll go out to the shop and I'll buy a book. I literally have a pile of 5 books now. Asim, would you write a book?
Would I write a book? I don't
They're
know if I'm
given books to, seriously, everyone's writing books now.
I don't know. The discipline of it scares me. I mean, how
you
long
write
did you...
material as a comedian? You write material for TV shows.
Very loosely, though. Very loosely.
Oh, you could write a really funny book.
Oh, thank you.
No, it's the truth, though. And you know, the saying goes, everyone has a book in them. Everyone does have a book in them.
Yeah.
The problem with it is, though...
Is it a good book or a bad book?
See, this is it. Like, I've got friends now, and like, it's got a stage where something will happen in our lives, and they'll go, there's another one for Kira's Diary. And I'm like... No, I don't want to write about your personal heartbreak in any other editions of Kira's Diary, you know. But if you were to write the real stories that people have gone through, my God, I'm sure people have done it and fucked over a whole lot of people. I wouldn't do it to my friends or my family. I'd never do that, you know.
So you'd never...
Unless they asked me to.
So like Kira's Diary is fully fictional, is it?
Fully fictional. Fully fictional bar. I think there's a reference. Like, I like little inside jokes. There's a reference to my brother did have a snail called Billy the Wiz.
Okay.
Yeah, who did escape from a cart door box. And it was just so stupid. He called the snail Billy the Wiz, which is actually really funny. Yeah. So I wanted to give my brother a shout out, you know, somehow.
But you're morally opposed to using real life.
Yeah. Oh, big time. Because I would hate if somebody did that.
Yeah, it's
you know, used one of my stories or, you know, something that I told them in confidence.
Yeah.
I remember before people would be talking in the office, whether it's, you know, talking about radio and friends would be looking for advice about something. And then someone would go and use it as an item on their radio show.
Oh, like a yes.
So after getting a text from a listener, and then it'd be like what somebody was just talking about in the office.
Dear GJ, I'm considering an abortion. And it's like, why would that person text into 2FM?
Exactly. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's a funny one. No, I'd be very private and I'd be very loyal. Mm. And I wouldn't want to ever hurt. I choose to do this. I choose to be on radio and on 6 o'clock show and write Kira's Diary. But like, my parents don't. So I was actually, on top of the anxiousness I was feeling about the book, I was really worried about my mum and dad as well. And because I was in the newspapers and I was being asked questions. And do you get that with...
I get asked how old I am and I find that weird. Do you know where...
Really?
Do you know where you're...
People don't know you're 57.
I know.
That's really weird.
You're just chatting and they go, sorry, can I just... How old are you? And you're like, Yeah, 20.
You should be like, I'm 16. That's really weird. Why are you asking that?
But I take so long to answer because I forget how old I am, because in between, like, I'll know how old I am when I'm 30 properly. Like, I was born in 1989 in June. So I am 28 now, aren't I?
And look at how much you've accomplished.
Oh, no, it's the truth. You're very kind. So I've been... Oh, I'll show you my award.
Show me.
Oh, wait. I will actually take it.
What's the award for?
It's a Comedy Woman of the Year award from Tackler.
Oh, my God, Alison, I saw that the last day. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Look at you. 2017 comedy. Alison Spittle, Irish. I never get invited to any of that shit.
I know. That was the first time I got invited. I saw Samantha Mumba again.
What did you?
Yeah.
Were you cool around her this time?
Kind of. Yeah, I'd say so.
Seriously, like, who do I have to sleep with to get to these goddamn award shows?
I know. I met Ibrahim Halawa.
Did you?
Yeah, and his sisters. Which was like, I was properly starstruck by that.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, and he kept getting asked for selfies. At the award show, for people who don't know who Ibrahim is, if they don't live in Ireland, he is a lad who went to Egypt on a family holiday, got imprisoned for 4 years. The Irish government had fierce trouble getting him out, and he was basically tortured for ages. And he's just got out 2 weeks ago, and everyone's happy he's here. And he was at this award show with his sisters, and he was there like in a lovely suit, and he was swamped for selfies. And I felt sorry for him. I was like, Jesus, he must be getting sick.
That's been a bit
asked
weird.
For all these selfies. But then again, he has spent 4 years in prison. So it's
it. He's probably like, what the hell are these?
Yeah.
Why is everyone there with their camera phones? You know, kind of. Yeah. I think selfies should go.
He's probably missed the whole concept of vines, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. That's disappointing.
Yeah, that is disappointing.
Miss
vines. I do too.
Look, we still have gifts.
We do.
My God.
They can't take our gifts away from us. Yeah, so the award show was kind of, and I put flowers in it. I don't know what to do with it. It's a weird shape.
Well, there's so much room in this palace. You'll find a corner for it somewhere else. But seriously, that's an amazing achievement.
Thank you.
No, it really is. Like, it's brilliant. Yeah, and I know that everyone's like, oh, awards, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Yes, it kind of does. To actually be like, they picked me.
I know. You really love me. Mm-hmm. Like that. But
oh, God, don't do an Anne Hathaway on it. Whatever. I hope you didn't do an Anne Hathaway on it.
Oh,
I had a dream. And it came true. And it's like, we used to play the clip all the time on the radio show. And I have to admit, and I hate saying it because I think Anne Hathaway must be a really sweet person.
Yeah.
But I was like, what were you thinking, lady? What were you thinking?
It came true. Do you know what's weird? Tatler never told me I was going to win. Like, I've watched award shows. I've been to award shows where people have won over me. And I'm like, they knew. They knew and they didn't tell me.
Yeah.
Look at them there.
So you had no idea?
I had no idea. And my mum was with me, and me and my mum had a great time. Like, she was up in her new Zara shawl.
Oh my God. I remember the first time I met your mum.
Yeah.
We were in the VIP section of the Vodafone Comedy Festival about 2 years ago.
Oh yeah.
And there was Hunter.
Reginald D. Hunter.
Yeah. There was your mum.
Yeah.
There was me. There was you. And there was like Carl Spain. And I was like, this is the weirdest bunch of people to be together at one table. And Reginald D. Hunter turned around to me at one stage. And he was like, those eyes, you're an incredibly intense young lady. And I was like, intense? Do you think I'm intense? I don't think I'm intense now at all, Reginald. And like, I remember, and your mother was having the crack. And
yeah.
It was so funny, awesome.
No, I was delighted to have her down. And I've been so bad at contacting her lately, though, just with shite with the
life politics. Kind of takes over.
Yeah.
You have to stop feeling guilty because we have to do what we have to do in Dublin. We have to work.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
I know.
But I think that's the girl in us as well.
Yeah, definitely. I just every time before I go to bed, and it's like 1:30, so it's way too late to text or ring her. And then I'll just go, she's probably going to bed now, not knowing whether I love her or not.
Oh, Alison, that's an awful lot of guilt to hold.
And
you're coming from the eldest girl in the family as well.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Where, you know, we will eventually be, you know, we feel the responsibility.
Totally.
You know, we feel the responsibility. And I was very much like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
And you can't think that way because at the end of the day, they just want you to live your life.
Yeah.
And if they thought for a second that you were worrying as much as you were, they'd be like, stop, would you?
No,
because
I know.
Because they had to live their life too.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what other people have said to me, where they're like, Ciara, relax. Like, you know, you could leave the country if you wanted to. You could, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, nah, I can't leave Ireland because mum, dad.
Really?
Yeah. Is but like, it's funny. My mum and dad left Ireland in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, they did it.
And they had no Skype back
no,
then.
No.
And they just had to do it.
Yeah. Mm. So there you go.
Well, I feel better now.
Good. Good. Just text her and tell her you love her.
I will. Actually,
You're not going to tell me you love me, are you?
Well, now you've ruined it now, Ciara. I can't. Fine.
I can't handle it.
I can't push it away.
No, I've got barriers up around this heart.
So, like, it's coming up to Christmas now. Yeah. And this is, like, a big time for books and stuff.
Yeah.
So, what...
I'm just going to go into bookstores and I'm just going to, like, lift my books and just put them towards the front of the store.
No, you should. Have you seen anyone with your book yet? Like, in the wild?
No, I get sent pictures of someone, like my mates will see someone read my book and take a picture, which I have a little bit of an issue with because I don't like, I wouldn't like thought of someone taking a random picture of me with me not knowing.
You're such a private person. You know?
Yeah, so I was like, oh God, but I'll tell you a really funny story. I was really hungover there. Was it like a week and a half ago? Like really hungover. And I went into this particular like fancy deli and I was stuffing chicken balls into this takeaway container that I couldn't stuff enough of them in. Like makeup was still halfway down my face. It was like I'd crawled out of bed or whatever. And this, I got a tap on my shoulder and I look cross-eyed at this gorgeous looking guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, I just want to say I finished your book and I really, really like it. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. Or I was walking down the street, St. William Street with my housemate and this woman went, hi, Ciara. And I was like, fuck, I don't know who this woman is. And she was like, I really loved your book. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. And
it's
happening really randomly and sporadically, which I kind of like, you know. But I haven't had that moment yet where I'm like, oh my God, that person's reading my book.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like having like a little drug-fueled muffin in a batch of muffins.
Yeah.
You know, that give you that quick high. And you're like, aha, happy days.
You know? And like, imagine if there was like a really famous person reading my book, you know?
Yeah.
Imagine if Bono read Ciara's Diary or, you know, just something, you know. But you know what? Because you never know where a book will end up.
No.
Which I kind of, that's what I kind of love about the magic of a book. Like, you know, if you go away on holidays and you're staying in a hotel, you know, there's a bookshelf that, you know, visitors have left books behind them. So you don't know how far the book is going to travel or where it's going
to
go.
It could go to Mallorca.
It's been read in Switzerland and Australia and America.
Oh my God.
And I just think that's mad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It sounds really weird, but that your words in your book are... Because to me, it's a very Irish book. So I was just like, oh, it's Ireland. But then obviously a lot of Irish people live abroad. So I think that's kind of cool, you know? But anyway. Oh,
that is pretty freaking cool. Mm. Well, I think we've come to a natural end.
Yes.
And it's been lovely.
It's been fab. Thank you.
No, thank you. I got a parsnip soup just cooling down there, she waiting for the blender.
Alison's changed because I just went to the shop with her and she bought 4 organic lemons. I was like, what the hell? Can I give my book a plug?
That's exactly it. Yeah. Of course.
I walked in and Alison had the book in her apartment because obviously she knew I was coming over.
Do you know where it was before? Will I tell you?
Go on.
It was in the toilet.
Oh, Alison, are you serious?
Yeah.
Look, I'm just glad my book's been read at all, to tell you the God's honest truth.
I have my toilet library, which consists of your book.
That's something else I can add to this whole journey.
Do you want to add to the
whole
journey?
Wow.
I mean, yeah.
So it's Ciara's Diary, 1999, 2002, Sense and Shiftability. Is that a really long title?
I really like it. I love the word shift, though. I know in my TV series, I had to fight very hard to get the word shift in because people were worried that because it's going to be distributed internationally.
It's because so Irish people outside don't know what shift is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
But they do.
They do. I think they do. They'll get
the hit. But actually, do you want to do a reading of it?
Yeah, no, I don't mind.
I'm afraid now. It has been in my toilet, I just have to say. And
oh my God, Alison, you're not making this experience very nice.
I know.
Okay, I'm going to do reading from Ciara's Diary that has just been in Alison's bathroom.
Yeah.
Hold on, they're going to be very... I'm just going to go to a random one. No, that's a long chapter.
I'm just so sure that there's no marks on it, but...
Oh, Alison, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it. You have to buy the book.
Do you want to name a chapter? I'll look through it, and then if there's none,
how you're ruining this book experience for me? Wow.
Do you want me to lie to you? Did you want me to lie to you?
No. I don't even know what to say.
Okay. What?
On that note, guys, thank you. Please go buy my book.
Thank you.
And read it in your toilet or on your toilet or in your bathrooms.
That's where I read my books.
It's available in every good bathroom across Ireland. People are going to eventually start using it to wipe their fucking arse.
Thanks so much, Kira.
Thank you so much for listening. Let's do the credits. Sarah Garvey, Andrea Farrell, they are the producers. No Monster Club did the theme tune and William Conway did the artwork. Alan Bennett does head stuff and head stuff looks after this podcast very well. I did an advert for Copperberg and do you know what? It's my podcast, so I'm going to do an advert for me. So stay tuned if you want to hear which towns I'm hitting. I'm doing a tour and I'm super excited about it, but we've after adding a load of dates and I'm going to see. And I think we're adding more and more each time. So keep an eye on the Facebook page. Facebook page is Alison Spittle Comedy. And there's also a Facebook page for the podcast, the Alison Spittle Show podcast. You know, look it up, search it, you'd be grand. But I'm running a Facebook competition at the moment. If you tag a friend and the location of my tour, you're in with a chance of winning a shoebox full of shite that I'm going to post to you and your friend's house. That's the prize. I mean, okay, lads, it's not a year's subscription to Spotify, but I can't afford that. So I'm just doing a competition within my means. It could be good. It could be good shite. I don't know. I have to go to the pound shop and decide. But yeah, if you want to enter that competition, all you have to do is tag a friend on that post. With the location of the tour that you'd like to go to. So I'll give you my locations of the tour now. 2nd of December, Turrard Moat, County Westmeath. That's where I went to secondary school. I thought if I booked that, I'll get all my secondary school friends to come see me. But all my secondary school friends have gone out of the country. They've all emigrated. Or they've gone to Galway or something like that. So let's hope that the Turrard in Moat sells better than it is now. If you know anyone in Westmeath, give them a shout and tell them, do you know what? You need a night out in Moat on the 2nd of December. Go see Alison. And then on the 7th of December, I'm going to Cavanagh's in Portlaoise. That's the place where I first did my first ever gig. If you were there, you would have witnessed 7 minutes of me nervously talking about my granny drinking hot tub water. Then, on the 16th of December, I'm doing the Garage Theatre in Monaghan. That's not selling well at all. You see, lads, I don't lie to you. I don't lie to you. Then I'm doing the Spirit Store in Dundalk on the 5th of January. I really like the Spirit Store and you should come along. It'll be a great gig if you live around Dundalk. The 13th of January, Vicar Street. That's the big lad. I am so scared. Please buy tickets. I'm just not able now. It's because it's getting closer. And, you know, if you're looking for a stocking filler, well, it's a ticket, so it won't fill the stocking very well. But the sentiment of filling the stocking will be there. Go buy it for your friends and family. 13th of January. That's when I'm playing Vicar Street. And then on the 20th of January, the Glen Centre in Manor Hamilton. I'm looking forward to that gig. That's gonna be a good crack. And then the Out to Lunch Festival. So that's a daytime gig in Belfast. That's on the 24th of January. On the 25th of January, I'm doing the bars in Clonakilty. What am I at? That's at a different site. That's very far away. Jesus, what am I at? That'll be fun, though. That'll be fun. Sorry, that's me talking to myself. And then on the 2nd of February, the Quarter Block Party in Cork. Really looking forward to that. 9th of February, I'm doing Kilkenny. That's the Set Theatre in Kilkenny. I'm really looking forward to that as well. Then on the 10th of February, Galway, Town Hall Theatre in Galway. I really like playing Galway and I don't play it enough. And so if you know anyone around Galway, give them a shout and tell them that I'm doing a gig on the 10th of February in the Town Hall Theatre. And now here's some sweet
New gigs, 2nd of March, Visual, Carlo. I've never gigged in Carlo before. I am super excited about that. Let's see the... Yeah, that's going to be good. And then the Source Arts Centre in Turles. I think I've gigged in Turles before. Turles, do you know what? I did the Leinster semi-final of Scorn an Og, which is a competition, a talent competition in Ireland, run by the GAA. And I won the Westmead final in poetry reading, where I dressed up as an old woman and recited a poem about a dirty old pervert. And unfortunately, it wasn't enough to beat the Leash entry that year. It was a young lad in a flat cap, and my dad went mad. I won't lie. He was looking to physically assault the judges. I was only 12 at the time, and I told him to leave it out, Dad. They're not worth it. And thank God, no blood was shed that day. So that's the end of the podcast. Oh, no, it isn't. It isn't the end of the podcast. Because I want to tell you that we're doing a live podcast on the 12th of December with Tony Cantwell and Neil Delamere, and it's going to be super fun. As in the Workman's, tickets are selling really well for that. So go check it out there if you're looking for something to do before Christmas. Thanks very much. And as well as that, if you live in Ireland, go check out my sitcom. It's called Nowhere Fast. And it's on every Monday at 10 o'clock on Network 2. But if you haven't seen it so far, you can catch up on the player. If you're not living in Ireland, I can't help you. I'm sorry. When I can help you, I will. I promise. But not at the moment. I think I've done this very well. I don't think I've made any mistakes. So I'm going to let you go. Bye.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.